Hello everyone, this is The Big Fight and I'm Maria Shakil. It was the first week of the inaugural session of the 18th Lok Sabha. 542 representatives of people of India showcasing the diversity and complexities of our nation entered the new parliament. In his customary soundbite, the Prime Minister called for consensus and parliamentary debates, but then came a reminder to the Congress.
किसान के लीरे लीरा उड़ा दिए गए थे, देश को जेल खाना बना दिया गया था, लोकतंत्र को पूरी तरह दबोच दिया गया था, इमरजेंसी के ये 50 साल इस संकल्प के हैं कि हम गौरव के साथ हमारे संविधान की रक्षा करते हुए भारत के लोकतंत्र लोकतांत्रिक परंपराओं की रक्षा करते हुए देशवासी संकल्प लेंगे कि भारत में फिर कभी कोई ऐसी हिम्मत नहीं करेगा जो 50 साल पहले की गई थी.
It had opposition up in arms. The 18th Lok Sabha has an opposition with renewed strength. And they have signaled right from the word go that they would keep a hawk eye on each and every move of the government. The first session is in fact marked by mutual hostility that carried over from the campaign. The NDA and the India bloc sparred over the selection of the pro tem speaker. And then came the face-off over the speaker's post. The opposition had expressed willingness to support the NDA's candidate in return for the post of the deputy speaker.
Opposition ne clearly kaha hai. Rajnath Singh ji ka Kharge ji ko phone aaya. Rajnath Singh ji ne Kharge ji se kaha, dekhiye, aap hamare speaker ko support kijiye. ऑपोजिशन, पूरी ऑपोजिशन ने कहा है, हमने सब के सब से बात की है, पूरे ऑपोजिशन ने कहा है कि हम स्पीकर को सपोर्ट करेंगे, मगर कन्वेंशन ये है कि डेप्यूटी स्पीकर ऑपोजिशन को मिलना चाहिए.
स्पीकर ओम बिरला, आफ्टर हिज री इलेक्शन, कॉल्ड आउट फॉर्मर प्राइम मिनिस्टर इंदिरा गांधी एंड द कांग्रेस फॉर द डिक्टेटरशिप, कोट एंड कोट, दैट वॉज इम्पोज्ड. The horrors that marked those 2 years between 1975 and 1977 of the emergency. The opposition, with Rahul Gandhi in his first constitution role as the leader of opposition, met the speaker registering their protest. What followed was further reminder of 50 years of emergency, this time from the president in her joint address to the parliament. The neat issue united the opposition further, leading to pandemonium in both the houses. 18th Lok Sabha has different dynamics. One clear message from the mandate of 4th of June was balance of power, that a section of voters were apprehensive about majority power impacting the constitution, a potential change in constitution as the narrative was built. The mandate, though, for the NDA is though for the NDA, but it is also a mandate for the opposition to push for debates and deliberations. So with daggers drawn between the opposition and the Treasury benches in the very first week, who is reading the mandate correctly? And is the 18th Lok Sabha starting at a point of complete distrust where the 17th Lok Sabha ended? And who will walk that extra mile for the people of India? Because viewers, it's you and me who want healthy discussions in our parliament. Let me bring in the guests now. Jebi Mathur is Rajya Sabha MP of the Congress Party. We have Praveen Khandelwal, Lok Sabha MP of the BJP. Nalin Kohli, National Spokesperson of the BJP here in the studio. Sushmita Dev, Rajya Sabha MP of the TMC. We also have Binoy Viswam, Rajya Sabha MP of the CPI. Shambhavi Chaudhary, Lok Sabha MP of the LJP, Pawan Varma, former MP, and Rashid Kidwai, senior journalist. I'm going to begin with you, Nalin, here in the studio. 17th Lok Sabha and 18th Lok Sabha are different. 18th Lok Sabha is about coalition government which is in power. Are you reading the mandate correctly with the manner in which the House has functioned so far?
Everyone is entitled to read the mandate as they wish. But let me put it in the manner as I see it. The 17th and 16th and 18th, all Lok Sabhas have seen a coalition government. The difference is that the BJP had a majority in the 16th, 17th, does not have a majority on its own in the 18th. But what is also common to all the three Lok Sabhas is that the vote was for Modi in 2014, the vote was for Modi as Prime Minister in 2019, and the vote is for Modi to continue as Prime Minister in 2024 also. So there's no change. What I think is a change is an increased numbers for opposition parties. So let's take the Congress. The Congress between the 16th, 17th and 18th, 2014, 19, 24, collectively in three Lok Sabhas is less than what the BJP has got as its lowest share in 2024.
So I think
the message is that the continuity of the Modi government, the work that he started must continue. He must build on that. If the opposition feels that the Modi government is not to perform in the manner as it has performed,
J.P. Mathur,
they are misreading it.
Someone has to walk that extra mile. Here the question is, who will do that? One expects the government to do so, but they are of the opinion that they have the mandate. So, is the opposition not reading the mandate correctly?
Government has a set of responsibilities, so does the opposition. The role of the opposition, the duty of the opposition is to be the voice of the people and to bring in the subjects and issues that matters to the people to the parliament and raise it and have a say and put forward the thoughts, the views of what the country feels about it. Now we will do that, and the mandate clearly Nalinji has put it very lightly, but we would like to share a different view that this mandate is definitely a clear warning to the BJP and also to Prime Minister Modi ji, and it is not something to be taken lightly, because it's a very clear signal that if the government do not take sufficient measures or be careful enough, this is going to be not a very easy ride for them.
Okay.
And the people of India have clearly, by not giving that char so par, it is very clear that they do not have what they had in earlier. So our role is to raise issues. Currently, the most important issue is NEET issue, and we are taking it up. But even that is not being allowed. Opposition leader Rahul Gandhiji's mic is being muted. Mallikarjun Kargeji has to go into the well to make his sound voice heard. I mean, the kind of magnitude to which we have to go, the extra mile, as you say, we have to go. We are ready to go miles and miles to ensure our voice, the people's voice,
okay,
is heard, and the issues,
you know,
are discussed in the parliament.
This point that is being made by Jebi here, you have the leader of opposition in the Lok Sabha standing and he doesn't get a chance to speak. You have the leader of opposition in the Rajya Sabha standing at his chair and he doesn't get a chance to speak. So what exactly is this functioning
three
of parliament?
Three quick points. I think I'd just like to disagree with Jebi ji on one comment that the opposition is the voice of the people. I disagree with that completely. Every member of parliament is the voice of the people that he or she represents. So a member of parliament is the voice of the people. Collectively, there is a government and collectively, there's an opposition. So I think if the opposition believes that we are the only voice of people, it's misreading democracy in its totality. Forget about the mandate. The second part to it is that, the Lok Sabha leader of opposition had to go into the well. Let's look at it in another way. Prior to this Lok Sabha, there was a debate. I distinctly remember Prime Minister Modi was there for 2 days listening to everything the opposition said. When he stood up to speak, there was sloganeering. They were not allowing him to speak. And through his speech, he had to hear slogans. So I think we have to understand, yes, there is a role of the opposition. We respect that. But both have to also work in tandem.
Okay.
It can't be one way or the other.
Okay. So here is the government says that it is the opposition which believes in my way or the highway. Sushmita Deva, a response from you on this.
Nothing is my way or a highway. It's
they are saying
simple.
That opposition believes in that.
You have been saying that
the government believes in it. That's their principle.
See, it's very simple. What this government has to realize, One fact is that they are not a government which had a clear mandate. Luckily, they had a pre-poll alliance because of which they came with the numbers. We give them that. But 400 Park has been decisively rejected. Communal politics has been decisively rejected. And the, I think, result of Ayodhya shows you that. Now, all we are saying is what we've been saying for the past 10 years, that parliament works under certain mechanisms. It is the right of the opposition to invoke those mechanisms. So to reject those tools of parliamentary democracy and not allow the opposition to work effectively is not constructive politics. You talk about constructive opposition, and I'm emphasizing on a constructive government. Today, please do not be dismissive of the opposition. The opposition is obviously going to reflect the mood of the nation, and so should the government. And I don't think a government which claims to be so confident of its mandate should fear a debate in parliament. They should not fear criticism. They should not fear opposition cornering them on issues, because it can only make them perform better. They should not think that if there's a criticism in the parliament from the opposition, that it is a personal insult of Narendra Modi or anything like that. Today, NEET, for instance, is a huge national issue. Everybody wants to talk about it. It cannot be simply built into and mangled into and mingled into the package of the motion of vote of thanks of the president's speech. One has to understand that.
Yes.
That's parliamentary democracy.
Yes. So who is compromising parliamentary democracy here, Pawan Verma, as a former MP? One may wonder, was the opposition's demand for a deputy speaker's chair illegitimate? Not really. And if they did not really get that commitment from the government, they went ahead and fielded their own candidate because of their experience. In the 16th Lok Sabha, the post went to AIADMK. And in the 17th Lok Sabha, the post remained vacant for all of the entire 5 years. So this is certainly unprecedented in the history of Indian Parliament.
Thank you, Maria. I normally find it very nice to discuss an issue with Nalin Kohli. But I think the entire house needs a reality check. Things have changed from 2014 to 2019 and this parliament. Not that the Modi government in a coalition has not got a mandate for the third time. But it's very obvious that the mandate is far reduced from their expectations, forcing them to be a coalition government and not an absolute majority on their own. Now, in such a situation, the opposition is much stronger. We need statesmanship. We need the ability to build a consensus in a scenario where things cannot be as they were before. I would think, if you ask me, for the speaker who was elected, Mr. Om Birla, to read out a statement as his first statement on the emergency, I don't believe it was needed or appropriate. It could have been raised by the Treasury benches because it starts on a confrontation. I also believe that if the Speaker's post has gone to the ruling coalition, it would be good form, good grace, to grant the deputy speaker's post to the opposition, and in the opposition, if required, to the largest opposition party. Because if your aim is to make parliament function and not reduce it to a confrontational cacophony where little work is thus discussed and no substantive discussion takes place, then it's another thing. But if you want parliament to function and to have reasoned debates, I don't think this is going to be very successful if the government behaves nothing has changed.
So the government's
intention... People want governance. People want governance.
Yes, the government's intention is also not that of perhaps running the parliament, having opposition on board, is the sense that you get from the inaugural session so far. Nalin.
So, thank you for those kind words, Pavanji. I think we share that mutual respect for each other. But let me pick the last point, because I think that point, when you speak about the speaker and a good gesture of, you know, handing the deputy speaker's post to the opposition, would be something that either has to be supported by convention or bonhomie. Now, on convention, there isn't something like that.
There is convention.
No, let me just come to it. Yes. Let me just come to it. Because we looked at, say, state after state. And in every state where the Congress is there, the Speaker, Deputy Speaker is from there, the DMK Speaker, Deputy Speaker from the same party, Trinamool Congress Speaker, Deputy Speaker from the same party.
We are talking about
states,
parliament.
Maybe. But then I think the convention in terms of the two posts, whether in a state legislature or a parliament, is about a norm that you adhere to. There is no such norm. Now, if it had to be like that, there isn't that bonhomie. You can't put it down as a demand. This is something that the two sides, and as I say, parliamentary democracy needs both the sides, both the hands to come together.
So who is ensuring that the hands come together? Who's making that extra effort? I don't see it coming from the Treasury benches, certainly. Go ahead, Sushmita.
See, Maria, first of all, let me point out one thing. That the last term, there was no deputy speaker.
Yes.
I hope everybody on board on this show knows that. That itself is questionable. Anyway, be that as it may, Mr. Kohli is a lawyer by profession, understands the law very well. Pavan Varmaji is an eminent author, has been a parliamentarian himself. There's nothing as a weak opposition. Opposition numerically is always going to be behind the Treasury benches. That's why they are in the opposition. But you see, when you talk about emergency, you pull out these examples from history. And I'm sure that Pavanji will support me in this. There is always that example that comes back to me when Pandit Nehru allowed a special session when the Indo-China war was happening, when Bajpai ji was leading Jansangh party with just 4 MPs. And he agreed to an open discussion in the special session, whereas there was a proposal to make it secret. He went public with it. That is an exemplary thing to for all of us to look back at. To look back at the emergency, it's like me saying, oh, Narendra Modi actually was on his watch that one of the largest genocides happened in 2002 Gujarat riots. Yet Narendra Modi ji went on to win the election. Now, if I keep bringing that up, if I am
so
in power,
why are you not moving ahead? Because when you say the youth of the nation, and you understand the pulse of the youth of the nation, they were not even born when emergency happened. While it is important
exactly,
to remember, but
I'm
why
saying,
bring it repeatedly is the point. So I'm going to
Today,
come back
I'm,
to all
I'm
of you, but we have Shambhavi. Yes, go ahead, ma'am.
Maria, one example I'm giving.
Yes.
Today, if from the Treasury bench, they turn around and tell us that why are you taunting us on coalition? You ran a coalition government for 10 years, UPA 1 and UPA 2. Hmm. We can't say anything. We can't say anything because the Congress ran a coalition government for 2 full terms. But to go back to emergency is in bad taste.
Okay.
It is not relevant.
It is not relevant.
Okay. It is Maria
no, last because emergency
5 seconds.
Is one point and the we also want to understand
reason,
the role of the
round. The only reason they brought it up is BJP deep down in their heart knows that the reason unko 400 paar nahi mila is people thought inko 400 paar milega to ye samvidhan badal denge. That's why they brought up emergency.
Okay.
That's
so what do first-time MPs think? Because we have 2 first-time MPs on the show as well. So let me bring them as well. Shambhavi, first-time MP from my home state of Bihar, LJP, you represent. You're also one of the youngest. Many want to understand from you, how do you look at this mandate? One sense is that mandate is not being respected by the Treasury benches. There is another view that the opposition is having my way or the highway kind of approach. So help us understand, how do you look at this mandate?
So I really don't think this has been a my way approach of the Treasury bench. What happened today is sad. And as a first-timer MP, I feel that we lost on a lot of time. There could have been a fruitful discussion, and we could have addressed the opposition's need in a more, structured manner, but it did not happen. And after repeated instruction of the suggestions of the Honorable Speaker were that in the motion of thanks to the President of India, you can address your concerns, you can voice your opinions, but they were just not ready to listen. And there was a lot of chaos and drama, and then the motion was adjourned. So as a first-timer MP, also as somebody who's representing an important constituency in the parliament, I feel that we did lose on a lot of time. And we could have utilized the entire day to have a better, fruitful discussion.
Yes, so as a first-time MP, you had your concerns and you would have wanted to raise the concerns of your people that you represent. But who really behaved in a high-handed manner? Opposition is blaming the Treasury benches, and the Treasury benches are blaming the opposition.
So definitely it's the opposition, because I think by precedent also, the first thing that is addressed after President's speech in the Parliament, after President's address in the Parliament, is a motion of thanks. That has been, that is the precedent, and that is what has been going on since all of the sessions. And this is the first time that something else was, the opposition was trying to address something else. They were trying to raise another issue, and the Honorable Speaker repeatedly kept on saying that in the motion of thanks you can address those issues, but let the motion of thanks pass. But I think there was a lot of chaos, and
Shambhavi, are you disappointed as a first time MP? I'm sure you would have heard and read about the traditions followed in the parliament, where it was about bonhomie, and you heard what, Sushmita, they've said here right now, that there used to be that kind of camaraderie, which we are not witnessing. It's a completely different parliament now.
Correct. And I feel, I definitely, I am really, disappointed. I am sad that, we did not go as per it was expected to. And I think we've lost on a time. Although, already there are so many, there are not so many working days in the parliament. You only get a limited time. And you're here for a limited time to represent your constituency. And in that limited time also, the sessions are being adjourned. There's a lot of chaos. There's no fruitful debate. There's no fruitful discussion. We are all here. The opposition on the first day said that they are here. They want the bench, Treasury bench, to respect the opposition. They want to have a fruitful debate. They want to address their concerns as well. But what we are seeing, what we saw today, definitely this is not what is happening. Neither the government nor the opposition are being able to raise their concerns. Neither are they being able to talk about their opinions. So I think as an MP, I feel that it's really disappointing, and we should, we are representatives of the people. We are here for a purpose. Our purpose is to represent our people. Our purpose is to be the voice of the nation. This voice is getting hampered. We are not being able to raise issues that are important to us, that are important to the people of our state, that are important to the people of our constituency. And definitely it is disappointing for MPs also, okay, and for the nation.
Okay. Rashid, coming to you, bonhomie, camaraderie, walking an extra mile, I would say, are all thing of past of Indian politics. This is a new grammar, which is about total confrontation.
Maria, I think the title of your program is Big Fight, and here there is no big fight taking place. All our learned friends are making a very kind of, politically correct, postures. The real problem, Maria, as we see as reporters, is a real problem is at the top. The trust deficit between Prime Minister Narendra Modi and the leader of opposition, Rahul Gandhi. In fact, the BJP's script has, vis-a-vis Rahul Gandhi, has gone horribly wrong. They were expecting, among other things, not only the failure in third failure in 2024, they were also expecting that Rahul Gandhi would not take up this job of leader of opposition. And they will, they will say this, that, he shies away from taking up a position of responsibility, etc. So this is in sharp contrast to what was there with P.V. Narasimha Rao and Atal Bihari Vajpayee. I'm talking about the leader of the House and leader of opposition, to Sushma Swaraj, to, Manmohan Singh. There was a lot of shyness, and there was a lot of sort of fondness for and genuine regard for each other. Now that is utterly lacking. Unless Mr. Rahul Gandhi invites Prime Minister Modi for a cup of tea or coffee, or Mr. Modi does that, you know, things are not going to be normal. We have witnessed to it, Maria, that BP Singh and Rajiv Gandhi relations were also very curt and very tense, and there was a whole background to it. But they also sort of learned to, you know, accommodate each other. It was a temporary phase, but it worked. So we don't see that. Unless that is not going to happen, all these things are going to be there. It's not a, you know, it's Parliamentary Affairs Minister cannot manage all these things, because unless the relationship, functional relationship, I'm saying, between Rahul Gandhi and Narendra Modi is sorted out.
Yeah, so I think it's also that, you know, Rashid, there is that willingness that has to be displayed as well. Is there a willingness to bridge that gap?
Not
and
at
who
all.
Who will make that call for a cup of tea?
No, no, on the contrary, that the both sides, I would not get into personalities here, they want to destroy each other. They just, there is utter contempt to my mind. And that is the root cause of problem. That is why I see that there is very, kind of going to be very acrimonious session.
Yes, and Binoy, you know, Mr. Viswam, many would say that there's a lot of nostalgia which is associated with Indian Parliament. You know, I often listen to those, the repartee, I would say, between Sushma Swaraj and Dr. Manmohan Singh, where she famously said, "Tu idhar udhar ki na baat kar, bataye kafila kahan luta." You know, those were the days. Today we are seeing complete confrontation. Mr. Viswam, if you can hear me.
What is the question to me?
Yes, so my question to you is, do you expect that extra effort being made by either of the sides?
No, the thing is that don't try to live in a world of illusions, because the country has to understand the facts. BJP is BJP, run by an ideology of fascist thoughts, and RSS is controlling it. In that ideology, the space for debates, meaningful debates, are very, very limited. They know only the language of high-handedness, the one-manship of a particular person. And always they say, one country, one election, one vote, one ration card, one leader, one voice. This is the practice in this country since the last 10 years. And that ideology is not having any kind of respect for a parliamentary democracy. For them, democracy itself is an absurd base. They consider the parliaments as an unnecessary thing. Of course, our Prime Minister time to time say that it is the temple of democracy, and he claims that this is the mother of democracy, our great India. But what respect they have shown to this great democratic principles and democratic houses.
Nalin, will you respond to that? And particularly the point that has been made also by Rashid, that perhaps the BJP wasn't really expecting Rahul Gandhi as leader of opposition. And because you were not prepared, you went on this extreme aggression post that.
So, Rashid Bhai, of course, is a journalist in that sense and a commentator. So, he has the liberty and the flexibility to have a very liberal interpretation of any situation. Who's the BJP to decide who the leader of opposition is going to be, and why should we? It's for the opposition to decide. It's a good thing if Mr. Rahul Gandhi, after 20 years, has decided to take a post. That is for the Congress and the opposition to do so. And why would we want to determine who will that person be? One. Two, on Mr. Biswam, he's of course a very senior person, but since he referred to the BJP as a fascist, I'm sorry, but again, as a student of history, I find it fascinating that Naxalism and its beautiful ideology of distributing flowers through guns is something that, you know, I really can't relate to. So the only fascist element that we see is the Naxals who have been fighting movements, and those who have, through Nalbari days, whatever, followed that ideology. So we'll keep that aside. Let's come back to Parliament. Yes, I think an important point has been made in a bipartisan manner, I will accept, that there has to be a working mechanism or relationship between the two sides.
Yes.
It's in the interest of the institution. It's in the interest of democracy. And I personally, being an optimist at heart, do believe that it'll come sooner than later. I think the opposition is through a phase of having numbers that they hadn't seen in two elections, and therefore is feeling rejuvenated, perhaps a little more exuberant, and perhaps have made an incorrect assessment that now Prime Minister Modi and his government will function in a different way. Whereas the BJP, from its perspective, its position, as I see it as a spokesperson, is that we were elected to continue doing the work. Because we are in government, we are not out of government. And there's no threat of us being out of government, at least till 2029. The next election.
Okay.
And then we'll see.
Okay, let me get a reaction from Jebby and also from Sushmita. So, Jebby Mathur, first to you, ma'am.
You must get a comment from our new MP from Jannikov too. Praveen ji's been on the show.
They can sit with a stick. And the if the BJP thinks they can sit with a stick and then dictate terms to the opposition and the opposition should be like puppets, no, it's not going to happen. You will see a very, very vibrant, effective, focused opposition. See, as far as we are concerned, you brought out the difference between that BJP and the BJP's thoughts about Rahul Gandhi and what they did. I think Mahatma Gandhi said years ago that one statement that first they ignore you, then they laugh at you, then they fight you, and then you win. And that's what exactly happened. They did everything. They first ignored, then they laughed, then they fought, and now it's the days, it's the years, it's the weeks, it's the months of Rahul Gandhi and the India Alliance and the Congress Party. And see, there are some certain facts which cannot be ignored. Paper leak is something, it did not happen one fine morning now. Congress in its manifesto very clearly stated this as a big issue and that we will put in place systems to check and ensure that this doesn't happen. So Congress always had a plan to ensure that this paper leak issue is addressed in the best way. So we will continue with our stand, and this cannot be ignored. And taking youth voice or the concerns of the youth, that is, we cannot take it like that. It is a big issue, a very burning issue. It concerns generations. So we will continue with our fight.
Okay, so
no matter what
BJP thinks
and how they want us to be.
The point being made by the Treasury benches, and something that was reflected also, by the chair, was that during the motion of thanks to the president's address, all these issues can be raised. Because the president also mentioned NEET in her statement. Could the opposition have started the discussion so that, you would have got a chance to speak on it?
See, Maria, we have this rule book. Okay? It's around 200 pages. Okay? And there are at least minimum 7 or 8 ways of raising issues, right? We do discussions on matters of public importance in 0 hour also. We can raise an important issue by calling attention also. And we can raise an issue to say all other business to be stalled. Let's discuss this issue. This is important. You see, it is nuanced parliamentary procedure. If it was just a matter where first debate kar lo na, bol lo na, ja ispe bol lo, uspe bol lo, then why have a 200-page rule book with so many provisions to raise issues? Because every provision reflects the gravity of the situation. It is not for the Treasury bench to say that debate this under this provision or debate this under that provision. That is for the chair to decide. It is for the opposition to invoke that right. By denying us this opportunity, it is like a specific provision where all other businesses adjourned and we debated. It gives importance to that matter. You cannot compare it to a 40-page speech read out by the Honorable President of India, where one para 20 says that, to a provision which gives you a complete 4-5 hours debate only on a single issue. And why are we doing it? Because it's an issue that is right now dominating the nation. What is wrong in that? So
yes, absolutely.
We cannot oversimplify things to say, ye issue aap 0 hour pe bol lena kya hai. That's not the way parliament works. That is what the BJP is.
Let me bring in Praveen Khandelwal, also member of parliament, of the BJP. Mr. Khandelwal, one question that is being raised is that the responsibility to run the House is on the Treasury benches. Late Mr. Arun Jaitley, one of the veterans of the BJP, had repeatedly said while he was the leader of opposition that is the way it should be. The House should function with the Treasury benches doing its part. We are seeing a very, very aggressive Treasury bench, and so are we seeing a very, very aggressive opposition. Aapki sarkar ban to gayi hai, lekin ye mandate to alliance ka mandate hai.
देखिए बिल्कुल जिम्मेदारी सरकार की होती है, लेकिन डेमोक्रेसी में अपोजिशन का भी कुछ दायित्व होता है. आज जिस प्रकार से अपोजिशन के मेंबर्स वेल में आ गए, वेल में आना कोई लोकतांत्रिक परंपरा नहीं है. और वो जिद किस बात की कर रहे थे, वो जिद इस बात की कर रहे थे कि राष्ट्रपति के अभिभाषण पर जो धन्यवाद प्रस्ताव है उसको एडजर्न किया जाए और उनका कोई विषय लिया जाए. और हम सब जानते हैं कि संसद की यह परंपरा है कि राष्ट्रपति के अभिभाषण कभी भी एडजर्न नहीं होता, उनका धन्यवाद प्रस्ताव. तो अपोजिशन को समझना चाहिए था, लेकिन अपोजिशन पॉलिटिकल स्कोरिंग करने के लिए, और यदि संसद की परंपराओं का और मान्यताओं का पालन नहीं करेगी तो जिम्मेदारी किसकी होगी. निश्चित रूप से अपोजिशन की जिम्मेदारी है, उन्हें कोऑपरेट करना चाहिए था और संसदीय परंपराएं जो है उसका पालन करना चाहिए.
प्रवीण जी, स्पीकर के रोल पर भी बहुत सवाल उठ रहे हैं कि स्पीकर जो एक बाई पार्टीजान चेयर है, उन्होंने एक रेजोल्यूशन क्यों मूव किया इमरजेंसी के अगेंस्ट, और उसके वजह से उनके जो बायसेस हैं वो भी शायद विजिबली अब दिख रहे हैं.
हम सब स्पीकर श्री ओम बिरला जी के बारे में जानते हैं. पिछले 5 साल उन्होंने जिस प्रकार से निष्पक्ष होकर के सदन चलाया वो हम सबके सामने है. जहां तक इमरजेंसी पर रेजोल्यूशन को मूव करने की बात है, तो इमरजेंसी इस देश की डेमोक्रेसी पर या इस लोकतंत्र पर वो काला इतिहास है, और वो लोग जिन्होंने इमरजेंसी की यातनाओं को भुगता है, मैं और मेरा परिवार भी उसमें से एक है. कम से कम पार्लियामेंट के सदन पर ये बात आनी चाहिए थी, और क्योंकि वो 27 जून थी और उस दिन इमरजेंसी लगी थी, तो अगर स्पीकर ने कोई रेजोल्यूशन मूव किया है तो मैं समझता हूँ उसमें कहीं कोई गलत नहीं किया. उन्होंने उस कलंकित इतिहास को एक बार याद करने की कोशिश की है ताकि भविष्य में कोई दोबारा उस प्रकार का हालात देश में पैदा ना कर सके.
ओके, सुष्मिता, करेक्ट मी ऑन दिस पॉइंट दैट हैज बीन मेड बाय प्रवीण खंडेलवाल ऑफ द बीजेपी, दैट वेन एवर देर इज अ डिस्कशन ऑन मोशन ऑफ थैंक्स देर कैन नॉट बी एनी एडजर्नमेंट मोशन.
आई डोंट थिंक दैट्स ट्रू. I don't know whether Mr. Pawan Verma will back me on that. That is not true. It's an emergency provision that can be invoked at any time. Okay, it can be invoked at any time. Now, the question is, NEET, what has happened, is one of the biggest scams where there is prima facie evidence which says that crores of rupees have changed hands. And it's happened on the watch of an education minister who first started by saying, this is motivated. Now CBI is arresting people who are saying, I paid 40 lakhs, I paid 50 lakhs. NTA was the creation of the NDA government. Arun Jaitley ji had introduced it. For what? To bring in efficiency and a world-class standard. Today it's become an international shame. And let me tell you why. Because NEET is held not just in this country. There are centers abroad. Can you imagine, Maria, what is happening? In various cities overseas, these exams are held.
Okay, Pawan Verma,
for medical students.
Pawan Verma, the NTA, because multiple exams have been cancelled or there are allegations of paper leak, not just of NEET, NET and other exams. There are over 2 crore students and youth who have been impacted by it. So can an adjournment motion, as because it's a very, very technical thing and I want to understand from you, and Sushmita has said that you'll be backing her because you are a veteran at this and you understand how systems work better. So can an adjournment motion be moved while there is a discussion on a motion of thanks going on? Or because the motion of thanks discussion hasn't even begun.
Thank you, Maria. I think we have to understand. The president's address is an umbrella record of the working of the government, and she speaks on behalf of a script prepared by the government. In her speech, she has covered aspects like NEET. So whether you raise a separate adjournment motion, which I believe this subject deserves and is allowable, if the government, if the treasury benches are cooperative, because it's a burning issue that is affecting the lives of crores upon crores of the young in India. But whether they move an adjournment motion or speak disproportionately on this issue in response to the president's address, either way, introducing meat into the discussion cannot be disallowed. Today, if I make my two quick points.
Yes.
You see, it started with the emergency. Now, my only point is this. How long can you keep resurrecting the wrongs of the past to deflect attention from the wrongs of today? There must be closure, and there was no need to again bring it up, and that too by the speaker himself. It could have been raised by the treasury benches. Secondly, you see, if the role of the opposition in raising an issue which it considers important is summarily dismissed, I am reminded of a simple couplet of Ghalib. Har ek baat pe kehte ho tum ke tu kya hai? Tum hi kaho ye andaaz guftagu kya hai? If there is no give and take.
No, there is no guftagu only here.
There is no guftagu. Yes. So, if the opposition says, this is an important issue, and I reiterate, and Arun Jaitley ji, who is a personal friend of mine, as was Sushma Swaraj ji, used to say it often when they were in the opposition, that it is the responsibility of the treasury benches to run the house. What does that mean? It doesn't mean that the opposition doesn't have to cooperate. It means the treasury benches have to go that extra mile to take the opposition into confidence to build a desirable consensus. Pranab Mukherjee used to say to Rajiv Shukla, who was Minister for Parliamentary Affairs, if I see you on the treasury bench's side, I'm going to fire you. You must be seen in the with the opposition trying to build bridges. If the approach of the government is to carry the opposition along, some conciliatory and I would think gentle gestures need to be made. Otherwise, we will see once again a totally washed out parliament session. And who's suffering? I ask this question again and again because we have people's representatives sitting here. Governance is suffering. In the national capital of the world's largest growing economy, yes, there were people running for water. Now people are flooded. Next 2 months, we'll have pollution. Lakhs will gasp to breathe. Who is tackling inequality? Who's tackling price rise, unemployment, rural distress? If this is the way we continue to use parliament.
Okay, before I bring in Nalin, I have a word. Let me get Mr. Praveen Khandelwal on the point that has been made by Pawan Varma. Praveen ji, yahan par agar aapne suna, to unka saaf ye bhi kehna hai ki aap bolte hain कि आप युवा की आवाज समझते हैं और युवा हिंदुस्तान की आपकी सबसे बड़ी कॉन्स्टिट्यूएंसी है. जो एक शख्स उस वक्त इमरजेंसी के टाइम में ज्यादातर युवा मौजूद भी नहीं थे, तो आप एक ऐसे इरा की बात कर रही हैं जो कर रहे हैं और बार बार उसको दोहरा रहे हैं जो लोगों को याद भी नहीं होगा.
मारिया जी, ये जो जनरेशन है, इस जनरेशन को यह पता होना चाहिए कि इस देश में लोकतंत्र के साथ कब कब क्या क्या हुआ. 1975 से लेकर के 1977 तक 2 साल देश में जिस प्रकार से संविधान का मखौल उड़ाया गया, जिस तरीके से इमरजेंसी थोपी गई, और आश्चर्य तो यह था कि जिन्होंने संविधान का गला घोटा वो संविधान लेकर के और पार्लियामेंट के अंदर बड़ी बड़ी बातें कर रहे थे. तो ये जो हमारी जो जनरेशन है, यंगर जनरेशन है, इस जनरेशन को यह बताना बहुत जरूरी है कि देश में डेमोक्रेसी के साथ कब कब क्या क्या हुआ, ताकि उन्हें भी याद रहे कि इस प्रकार के हादसे भी इस देश के अंदर हुए हैं जब लोकतंत्र का गला घोटा गया. तो अगर स्पीकर ने ये कहा है, क्योंकि स्पीकर सदन के गार्जियन है, सदन के साथ जब सदन को सस्पेंड किया गया, इमरजेंसी लगाई गई, तो सदन के गार्जियन का ये कर्तव्य है कि वो लोगों को बताए कि सदन की ये मर्यादाएं हैं, इस मर्यादा का उल्लंघन नहीं होना चाहिए.
तो उन्होंने जो किया उसको सस्पेंड करने का, तो वो भी एक सवाल उठता है जो बार बार दोहराया जाएगा. यस, यू वॉन्टेड टू कम इन सुष्मिता.
Yeah, because I have to be somewhere. Ye Khandelwal ji has let the cat out of the bag. You know, Hindi mein bolte parda fash ho gaya. So inhone they purposely brought up, bring up this emergency thing so that people don't forget what happened when Indira Gandhi was there and why is the opposition holding the constitution in their hand. That is the modus operandi. It is nothing else. He's let the cat out of the bag. And the speaker, I agree with Pawan Dharma ji. Today, if somebody from the Treasury bench stood up and said it, it is all right. It's an adversarial debate. Debates are inherently adversarial. But for the Honorable Speaker, who's the custodian of the House, our custodian, for him to say this, and the modus operandi has been told by Khandelwal, I rest my case. I have nothing further to say. I have absolutely nothing further to say. And with those words, Maria, I'll have to take your leave. I have another meeting somewhere.
Absolutely. Absolutely, Sushmita. Thank you so much for joining us. But let me bring in Rashid. Rashid, a lot of nostalgia, but at the same time, questions being raised on the role of the speaker and also on the role of the chairman here. Is there not a realization that these are chairs which are supposed to be bipartisan?
Yeah, I think, Maria, this has been a perennial problem, and this is where I think most, presiding officers, including in several state assemblies, they have become a kind of, extension of the government of the day. And this is very disturbing, and this is very, anti the spirit of parliamentary democracy. I think we need to find a mechanism so that, because the speaker's problem is that once you speaker and they, if they remit office, then they have to face election and they have to join political party. We know what happened to, Somnath Chatterjee case, which is a very famous case, and when he defied his own party and he was not given ticket and all kind of things happened. So therefore, we need to find at a more serious level, find a thing. In this situation, I think the speakers and the chairman of the Rajya Sabha need to exercise, greater caution, restraint, and act, at least seem to be acting as, non-partisan manner. I think it's a difficult task, but they can do it. They can do slight nudges to the government that, look, we also have our reputation and, a prestige of the chair. We need to observe. But this is also, it can be done. But that willingness has to be there. If you're in that mindset of, this thing that, we versus they, that kind of try to otherize others, then this is not going to solve anything.
Binoy Viswan wanted to come in. Please go ahead, sir.
No, the point is that what's the meaning of a presiding officer in a parliament house? May it be the Lok Sabha or Rajya Sabha. They are not supposed to be the voice of the ruling benches only. They are the people to ensure that the rights of the opposition will be treated in the proper sense. But what we see today in both the houses is that the chairman or the speaker, they are acting only at the behest of the ruling benches and the prime minister and his office. The PMO is not the parliament. The BJP cannot be the parliament. This parliament is of the people. And that parliament has the right to uphold the principles of democracy, of the constitution. What we see today is that they are demanding the chair, the presiding officers, to strangle down the voice of the opposition. We have witnessed it many a time in the parliaments. Always, the government is keen to use the office of the presiding officers to silence the voice of the opposition. Who are we? We are there to represent the people's anger, people's anguish, people's concerns. It's our rights. And we are trying to use that right only as per the rule book, which is the Bible of the parliament. As long as in the rule book there is the provision for 267, adjournment motion, the Rajya Sabha, it is our right to use that opportunity to bring into the house for a debate the issues and concerns of the people of this country. Needs is the real issue that confront the people of this country today. Lakhs and lakhs of students and their families are affected of what has happened in the NEET examinations. NEET has become a fraud on the people. It's a crime on the new generation. Those exams were a fraud on the whole country. And the government is trying to whitewash them, to safeguard them. And everybody knows that it has opened the doors for large-scale corruption to the tune of lakhs and crores. And tell us, please, if the parliament has no right to discuss that issue, then why in this parliament? Some people are arguing that we went to the well. When we are not allowed to raise our voice, when repeatedly when we ask for a chance to open our mouth, when all these rights of awareness are denied repeatedly, what else we can do?
Okay, I'll ask that question to Nalin Kohli. Nalin Kohli, let's wrap it up with your final word. The point here is that the government of the day should also be seen to be magnanimous, large-hearted, and also making that effort to reach out to the opposition. Why is that signal not being given?
Perhaps because we've just come out of an election, which was also pretty personal. And campaigns are personal after a point of time. We've seen it in the last few elections, certainly. It will take a little more time. I think the opposition parties, as I said earlier, and this is the strength of Indian democracy, that their numbers have increased. But at the other hand is that, you know, how do you call this an undeclared emergency? I mean, I'm unable to fathom with my limited political understanding of 22 years in the BJP and, you know, 32 years watching politics actively, that how is it an undeclared emergency and how is the EVM a hacked or a problematic thing if the opposition numbers are going up? So, you know, you've had a really taut election campaign. It'll take time. I'm not saying it's without hope, but I think it'll take time for both sides, which is the government, which will obviously have to play a greater role because the government, after all, is the one which is responsible for running parliament. But the opposition can't expect the government to just bend over backwards.
Will the government also make an effort to bridge the gap?
No, that's why.
Will the government also realize that 17th Lok Sabha and the 18th Lok Sabha are different? Will that extra effort be made is the question that I ask.
No, therefore, you can't expect the opposition that the government is going to bend over backwards to accommodate them.
So that's very clear. It's only ना इधर उधर की तो बात कर रशीद इसी पे एंड करते हैं
yes absolutely
बताइए काफिला किधर
thankfully काफिला भी लुटा नहीं है they got plenty of time in this 18th Lok Sabha but I think the real problem is मारिया बिल्ली के गले में घंटी कौन बांधे See, the opposition is very shy of, you know, reaching out to Prime Minister because they are not sure. And I said the Prime Minister is also not sure how opposition would view their gesture. And that is, of course, an issue of inclination and mindset.
Yes. All right. Thank you so much. Let's end it on a note which is very, very pleasant, unlike what we see happen in Parliament. Thank you so much for joining us. Jebby Mathur, Praveen Khandelwal, Sushmita Dev, Binoy, Viswam, Nalin Kohli, Shambhavi Chaudhary, Pawan Verma and Rashid Kidwai. Thank you for your time. That's all from me on this episode of The Big Fight. I'll be seeing you next week. Thanks for watching.